This is what's championed. You know, this is the funny thing about this story. Everyone wants to censor people. Everyone wants to eliminate speech. Nobody's talking about eliminating child porn. No one's talking about eliminating hardcore porn, never mind like Playboy.
I knew you were going to go in this direction, Joe, and we're probably going to talk about this through the rest of this segment and into the next one, because one of the main things that we have, Joe and I were talking last night before we did our show, our social media show, we were talking about perhaps maybe writing down some of our ideas and identifying some of our major problems that need to be. I mean, we have a lot of problems, but maybe like a top 10. Pornography is one of them. Pornography is one
There's
of them.
No value. Like,
but they argued. But they argued in front of the Supreme Court at the time, and this is where Dershowitz's biggest sin. That's why Dershowitz, no matter how much he took Donald Trump's back, I don't like Dershowitz. Okay, I never liked Dershowitz. He had an interview in Crusaders, can find it online. Maybe Shannon or somebody could post it. We're on firing line. William F. Buckley back in the 70s. He had on Harry Reams, who was a porn star, and he was involved in the case, and Alan Dershowitz was representing him. And Alan Dershowitz argued that porn is protected speech under the First Amendment. It is not. And one of the things they try to say is it has a value. I guess they call it a societal value. Porn has zero value. Dude. In fact, it's got negative value because porn is destructive. Okay? It's destructive. We're not talking from a puritanical point of view, Joe and I. We're Roman Catholic men. We get it. We've looked at Playboy magazine before, okay? Shock there to you, okay? Obviously not anymore because we grew up since then. My point is that it's destructive. It does, in many cases, irreversible harm, particularly to men.
Dude, it makes you impotent. Makes you impotent. And that's the irony of it. Particularly married men that are addicted to porn, you lose interest in your wife. You lose interest in your wife.
I worked with a guy who had I don't know if I told this story before on the Crusade Channel. I used to work with a guy, and he would talk to me a lot because he knew I was Catholic, right? But he hated the Catholic Church, and he hated the church's teaching on sexual morality. But he always, funny enough, ended up talking to me.
Was it Benito about Mussolini?
Was it
Benito Mussolini? No.
but he would ask me about this. Like, he would say things to me like... he would say, you know, I got this really hot girlfriend. She wants to get married. She wants to get engaged and get married. But I can't do it because she's not porn star hot. He said this to me. Now, again, I don't judge.
Was he from Staten Island?
No, he was actually from a different part of the country. Like all New York actors, most of them are from a different part of the country. But he's trying to explain this to me. And I said to him, I said, look, dude, now he's younger than me. I said, look, I'm not coming at you like some old man. Okay, like going to tell you war stories. Let me just tell you like this. I've been there and I've done that. Okay, now I was married at the time. It was just after I married my wife, okay? And I said, look, I said, whatever you're telling me, I already know, okay? Whether it comes to the hooligan lifestyle, the sexually liberated lifestyle, you're not telling me anything I don't already know and have experienced in my life, okay? It's a dead end, brother. It's a dead end. Why? Because he had porn ingrained in his mind. And I met his fiance or his girlfriend, all right? At one time, very nice looking woman. Okay, but you see, in his mind, she's not porn star hot.
Well, Joe, all
this
sin
is what
dead
happens
end,
to me. That's just an example. That's just an example.
All sin is a dead end.
Oh yeah.
No matter what it is, I mean, we're talking about porn, but sin does not satisfy ultimately. I mean, God built it that way because then you're supposed to turn to Him, right?
Right.
It's sort of built into like the equilibrium of life.
Right.
But speaking specifically about porn, it has zero value. There's a group of guys out of Philadelphia, you could look it up. They're called the King's Men. One of the things that they do, good group of guys, they protest in front of, oh, that is a fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, look at that headpiece he's got on. Look at that hair.
That is the Jewish afro that I only wish I had.
Well,
that is fantastic.
I mean, Buckley, I watched the interview a couple times. Buckley really let him have it, but he sat there and he argued, this is Alan Dershowitz, which we're talking about from the firing line, he argued his point to Buckley, the same argument he made in front of the Supreme Court. The phrase I was looking for was socially redeeming value. I think that's the legal way they put it. Pornography has a socially redeeming value. Our argument is, and I think anybody would argue this point, is no, it's got zero.
It's not, and it hurts society. It's like gambling. I'll just use this as an example. Anytime you have a gambling city, It brings with it porn. It brings with it drugs. It brings with it prostitution. They voted in New Jersey to bring gambling to the Meadowlands. It didn't pass. It's not the cure. A lot of times, because they want to tax it, obviously, because New Jersey's dying for money.
Right.
Any city, whether it's high-end like Monte Carlo or low-end like Reno, Nevada, it brings with it
other vices. Yeah.
It goes hand in hand. It, you know, the prostitutes just cost more money, but they're there.
That's because they know you just won a grand at the blackjack table.
But this is what it is. It brings no value. And the Kingsmen, they're out of Philly. What they do is they get a group of Catholic guys, and they stand across the street from, we call it a go-go bar. I don't know what you guys call it down south, but that's like a bar.
Strip club.
Strip club. They call it in Jersey a go-go bar. They stand across the street, and they protest it. And they've shut down go-go bars.
See, that's a beautiful thing.
That's what Catholic men should do. There are there's a near my house on Route 17. Cesari probably knows Route 17. I live off of it. It basically runs the gamut of North Jersey, takes you up to New York State. There's a go-go bar, Shakers. That's been there for four decades. Mm-hmm. I drive past that twice a day.
Joe, full confession. I've been to Shakers.
Well, I'm just saying.
Not in my recent life, but back in the day.
I knew guys that used to bounce there years and years ago.
By the way, that place is an S-hole.
There's tons of places like that around here.
But that place is like, that is the dive bar with strippers. I mean, it is the dive bar of dive bars.
But my point is, what value, 40 years of my like life, I'm 50, I can remember seeing that. It's in the shadows of the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
Adds no value.
Right.
It takes away value from society. Why do we permit it? And here's the thing. They want to take away guns. This is how I handle it. All right. Mr. Dershowitz, you're going to argue that you can't take away? I'm going to tax the living daylights out of you. You want a light? I'm going to create a license for those type of bars. It costs $250,000 a year for that license.
And that's not for the liquor license. That's just an added
Just like they put a license on to buy Giant tickets and Jet tickets. They put, what do they call that? That they, like, it was like a license. Then you had to buy your season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tax the living daylights out of you.
Right.
What value? But yet, here we are, Alan Dershowitz, and there's a large segment of our society that will argue for that right. Sorry, you don't get it. It just destroys our society.
And
society is destroyed enough.
And I would ask women. I would ask women who are sexually liberated, do you want your husband looking at porn? Do you want your husband going to strip clubs? If you say you do, you're lying. Especially if you have children. If you say that if you have children, if you're a mother, all right, a sexually liberated, white liberal mother in the suburbs, okay, couple of kids, you want your husband to say, honey, after dinner, honey, I'll be back later. Me and the boys are going to go down to Shakers, let's say, or Stilettos or any of the ones here in the Route 17 corridor, okay? What do you think? You think that woman's going to be like, oh, go be free, honey. Go ahead, come back later. Woman's going to be like, where do you think you're going? You're going to a strip club? You got me, number one. You don't need other women. And number two, well, you got two kids right there. What are you talking about? No women that says that they're for that, I'm going to look at as anything other than lying through their teeth.
Well, that's okay? Also part of, I had buddies that were traders. They would take bankers there and spend ridiculous amounts of money.
Joe, I used to do it when I was stockbroker.
Oh, high end too. There's a place in New York called Scores.
Yeah.
Like it's for Wall Street, like big dogs.
Yeah, they were all mobbed up too.
My friend Paul used to take bankers there constantly, drop thousands of dollars, and basically court them so he could make hundreds of thousands of dollars off of them.
Right.
That's a common practice.
Right.
In New York City, and amongst a lot of businessmen.
And guys like Larry Flint, when he was alive, Bob Guccione, okay, Hugh Hefner. In other words, we made heroes, the American culture, not us and not all you good crusaders out there on the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online at crusadechannel.com. We didn't make heroes out of them, but American culture made heroes out of them. Hugh Hefner, if you wanted to be a celebrity, you had to go to the Playboy Mansion. The guy's a pornographer.
Dude, Hugh
That's
Hefner
what
was
he is.
A freak.
And
dude.
Bob Guccione, all right, another sleazeball, okay? No, started out as a photographer. Then he founded Penthouse, which got a little bit more hardcore. And then along comes Larry Flint, which got really hardcore. Okay, they're made heroes, these guys. I would feel like if I walk, I haven't been to a strip club, but I couldn't tell you how long, okay? Now, I've been married 7 years, and certainly within a few years before I met my wife, I wasn't going to them anymore. I would feel ashamed. I would feel filthy if I walked into one now. And I wouldn't even care if it was a bunch of friends wanted to go there and I'm just going to have a drink, okay? I don't want to be anywhere near those
places.
Bro,
I'll tell you a funny story. Basically, the firm that I'm at now, it's downtown Manhattan. When I first went back to it, I worked downtown many years ago. So I was kind of like walking around the neighborhood, and there was an old Irish bar I used to go to. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's still here. Let me check it out. I walk in, and it was an iron worker bar now. Like all like construction workers, iron mm-hmm. workers. Bro, I swear, I walked in. There was a woman on a trapeze swinging across the bar. I took two steps in. I was like, holy crap. And I just like turned around and the guys in there were laughing. But it stunned me.